From Luke's Gospel in chapter 24, beginning with verse 44, "Then Jesus said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead and on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.' Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I have some breaking news for you that some of you may not be aware of. Today is Mother's Day. If you didn't know that already, well, in the great theological sense, let me say this to you. You're in big trouble. It's a day of celebration. A day where, in growing up in my family, we would all gather together and go to worship with my mama on Mother's Day, and she'd have most of her six children there and a host of grandchildren. Some of you continue that practice today, going to church with mama on Mother's Day, celebrating and in your symbolic way saying thank you for your gift in my life. That's what we do when we give gifts. We express in ways even beyond words how we appreciate and are grateful for a person's contribution to us. As a young one, I remember particularly one gift that I got my mother for Mother's Day once. I'd gone shopping and I got her a tea pitcher. I thought that would be a very appropriate gift that she would like and love. And you know, as I grew a little older, I understood that a tea pitcher probably wasn't the most intimate gift that I could have given. It didn't rank quite as low as a vacuum cleaner or a new mop, but it wasn't really something that was intimately gifted just for my mom. You see, the big gifts, the important gifts that we share for, it's not so much the price tag or what they can do with them, but it's the fact that it was made just for them. Isn't that right? When we receive something personally that we can use and no one else in the house can use, or that meets a special need in our life, then it communicates to us as individuals how important we are personally to the giver, right? So I'm helping you out, young folks and men around, when you're giving a mother's gift, a birthday gift, a special gift, a Valentine to the one you love, make it personal, because a personal connection makes it intimate and expresses your love all the more. Well, friends, in this reading that we have from Scripture today, Luke, the evangelist, talks about a spiritual gift from God. A gift given to us, much like a good Mother's Day gift, that is called this word for gift that is personally attached to each of us, is called a blessing. A blessing. We sang about it just a few moments ago, that there are showers of blessings from our God. And when we dissect that word and try to make sense of what a blessing is, it seems to be that a blessing is one of those words that we know them when we see them more than we can explain them, right? I was visiting with Lorenzo this week, and he showed me a beautiful rose that he had harvested. Really, Billy did all the work many years ago, right? And Lorenzo still gets to share in the blessing of that gift. It's a blessing to him. Those were the words that he and I use, that it reminds him of her love. Her gift still gives to him and to his life. Blessings are those intimate expressions of love, those gifts from God. God says to us in our scripture, as Luke quotes Jesus, he moves forth to the disciples just as he is about to ascend to heaven. And the last thing he does, did you notice it as I read the scripture today? The last gift that God gave to his children was this. It said he raised his hands and he blessed them. He expressed one final time their personal, intimate importance to him as their Lord. That's what we do. We bless those we love. We are an expression of God's love for family and friends in his name. You see, God tells us to also be a blessing to those around us. To not just bless him and not just receive his blessing, but be blessings to the world around us. As I was pastoring in New Prospect Presbyterian Church, or at the church back when I was in seminary, I remember having a pastoral visit with a family who had just been to our church a couple of times. They weren't the real church-going type. You know those people, right? They show up on Easter and on Christmas, and they believe in God but don't really practice the faith. They were just kind of marginal Christians, I guess you would say. They told me that the wife was going to have surgery. It could be a life-altering event. She could certainly not make it even through the procedure or the outcome of the illness. I remember praying with the family and we bowing together and asking for God's miracle of grace into their life. A couple of weeks later, they came back to church. And the husband, I'll never forget the words that he told me as he looked deep within my eyes and into my soul. And he said, "Jody, we got a blessing." That was his way of saying that God had gifted them with a miracle of grace. It was his way of saying that God had touched his wife personally and intimately with the gift of healing. Yes, I don't think he could have said it any better. We got a blessing. You see, that's the essence of God's gift for us. Have you ever noticed that as we end worship, before we go out, the last thing that we hear in this house of God is a blessing from Holy Scripture? It's our gift, not my gift to you as your pastor. It's our gift together as God's children. The last word that we hear about his holy and, yes, personal love for us. You see, blessings are personal. But there's another aspect of our reading today. As Jesus is quoted here, he says to his disciples that as I've opened you to the word, you should do this. You should go and preach my love, or tell about my love, or show my love to all people, and proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins to all the world. You see, blessings are personal, but you know, friends, I'm convinced that there's another aspect of our faith that's personal too. And that's repentance, forgiveness from our God. When we make a mistake, much as we do in personal relationships, we seek forgiveness from the one that we've offended. It's an expression of our love when we extend forgiveness. What greater gift, Scripture tells us, than for a man to lay down his life for his friends? In that, Jesus expressed the ultimate forgiveness. In his betrayal, in his denial, when he said, "I forgive you for all sin that you have committed and every sin that you will commit." God expressed personally and intimately his love for us. So when we repent, our response as individuals is to profess faith in Jesus Christ, to trust him as our Lord and Savior daily, intimately and personally, saying, "God, forgive me for my shortcomings and make me bigger in my faith through you." That's the gift of forgiveness from our Lord. That's the blessing from on high that we can't earn and don't deserve. You see, blessings are central in the Gospel of Luke. As he ends this passage, he reads that word three times. Jesus says, as he raised his arm to bless his disciples, that they're to go forth and be a blessing to others. Our text tells us that word three times, and after they receive the blessing, you know something that I find especially important to us as worshiping Christians? It says that as Jesus blessed them, they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple doing this, blessing God. Wow. The last thing they received was a blessing from God. And then they, as disciples, just as we are called, as modern day disciples, are called to be a blessing to God. Now, how in the world can we be blessings to a holy God? How can we, the ones who receive God's blessings, bless God back? Well, you think it may be the same attribute of personal, intentional, intimate affection to God. If his blessing to us is personal love, then our blessing to God must be the same. It's our personal, intimate expression of our love and affection of our holy God. Friends, blessings to God is simply worship. That's why we gather on Sunday mornings. It's the core of our faith. It's the beginning and ending of the Gospel of Luke. Did you know that this passage of Scripture, Luke, it started in the temple? When you look back at the beginning of the passage and you hear that beautiful story where the parents of John the Baptist were seeking a child, that his father was in the temple praising and blessing and serving God. And then our Scripture ends there, as if Luke is saying, it, my friends, is the beginning and the ending of our faith to bless, to worship, to love our Lord. And the good news. The good news is this. We come to worship, we celebrate in love, God's love for us, and love him back. Why? Because this is the outcome. Hear it with me, church. This is the outcome. This is the benefit of the life of faith. The greater blessing that as we strive to bless God, as we strive to love him, guess what we get in return? Luke says it here. They were filled with great joy. Wow. Isn't that beautiful? As we try to love God and worship him in this holy house, we go forth from this place filled with a greater sense of joy than we had before we got here. Don't you experience that often in worship? You leave this place feeling happier. Maybe you came to worship and you might have been even at each other's throat in some respect as a family, or a little aggravated about something that happened the night before. But when you go to church as a family and you worship together and you start your week off in worship, it just kind of puts everything else together. You are a more joy-filled family, individual, and person of faith. It's not an accident. It's not cliche. It's right here in Holy Scripture that as the disciples blessed Jesus, as they gathered in the temple in blessing God, they were filled with great joy. You see, so often in our world when we think of blessings, we think of more monetary strength, more practical or material gifts, more power or prestige in our positions. Whatever the it is, so often it's tempting for us to think of blessings in terms of more stuff or toys or gifts that we have. But the truer sense of blessing is the intimate affection and love and joy that we have from on high. It's a blessing beyond material goodness, beyond what we can purchase on our own or certainly even deserve as children of God. It's a gift of God's love for us as His children to make us into something more than we could be on our own. Yes, I think the young family that I pastored those 15 years ago at New Prospect, that I thought were marginal Christians, that I thought were just Easter and Christmas Christians, they taught me more about the life of faith and the gift of blessing that I had understood in all of my theological training until that point. That the blessing of God is a gift. We're not to judge who's worthy. We're not to judge who's able to receive it. God gifts it as He pleases to all those He loves. Now may we receive that blessing in this hour of worship and go forth, being a blessing to God, loving Him, and loving His world to His glory. Thanks be to God and our Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.